This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And the first thing I want to do this morning is say, welcome to the garden line. Mike Wiggins has been patiently waiting to get started on the garden line.
That's okay. It's just 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
Been preempted.
Exactly. So the good news is that we've got time for the garden line, and we still have some time for your questions. So if you've been sitting there thinking of what you wanted to ask Mr. Wiggins about your garden, your landscaping, you know you can always text it in at 850-437-1620, and we would love to hear from you this morning. So good morning, Mike. How are you?
Well, good morning, Meg. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I just feel badly that we had these technical difficulties, but we're trying to get it worked out. So
yeah, that was
we appreciate everybody's patience. We apologize for
that. Oh, absolutely. Thank you for your patience. That was a long speech.
It was a long speech. That is very true.
No question about that. And it's just good to have you with us. I think we probably need to rethink maybe some of the things we were going to talk about today on the garden line and really kind of go to the headlines, go to some of the more important things that one needs to do this time of year.
Yes. Well, it's the last day of the month, September 30th, right? So we're down to, believe it or not, October is tomorrow.
Here it is.
It is actually here.
I can't believe it. Amazing. Amazing. And of course, as we always do, let's talk about something a little less serious. Let's talk about the weather. It's been absolutely gorgeous. We did have the rain that we needed. That was wonderful. And so here we are now moving into October, which is going to be cooler.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the week, we do get a little bit cooler into the, still the high 60s at night, but maybe mid to high 80s in the day. But as we know, with the Interstate Fair coming to Pensacola, it's going to be sweater weather before you know it.
It's always the mark, isn't it?
That is the mark.
That's the thing we always know.
In the spring, we talk about the pecan trees coming up mm-hmm. on the internet.
Right.
In the fall, we talk about the Interstate Fair.
So true.
So here we are. So the weather is such that I really believe that we can get into some of those things that we talked about and maybe have delayed because of the dry, hot weather we experienced earlier in the fall. So I think, let's just, for fun, let's call it the big three.
Okay.
Weed killing, pre-emergence weed killing, and fertilizer.
Okay.
Let's do weed killing first.
All right.
Okay? These are three things that you can now start really thinking about doing. And when I say weed killing, I'm talking about post-emergence weed killing. In other words, killing weeds that are there now. So we use a product generally called Trimec, mm-hmm. T-R-I-M-E-C. Mix it up. I like to use it in a pump-up sprayer and go wherever the broadleaf weeds are. Then you can go ahead and spray them. Now, if you've got sand spurs or crabgrass, your Trimec is not going to work. It's just don't take the time or the money to do that. This is for broadleaf weeds, like dollarweed and Florida pusley and Virginia buttonweed and those type of things. Now, you also have to make your own decision. Do I really want to do that at this stage of the game? Because once we get cold, some of these weeds are annuals and they're going to die back. And then we move into the second thing, the pre-emergence weed control, which is probably more important than the post-emergence that we just talked about, because what it's going to do is keep weeds from coming up here in the fall, early spring. Then in the early spring, in February, we'll do it again to take care of the spring weeds. Atrazine is a great product to use. I like to use it mid-November.
Mm-hmm.
And the atrazine itself is a pre-emergence, but it does have a little bit, that's very scientific, isn't it? It has a little bit.
Works for me.
Why not? In any event, it has a little bit of post-emergence activity to it also. A good product to use, but I would wait to do it till November. And then the third thing in the big three we're talking about here is the lawn fertilization. Remember, we're talking about using a winterizer fertilizer
mm-hmm.
that has, remember, all fertilizers have three numbers. We've talked about that a lot. the last number for the winterizer should be larger than the other two numbers. I like 10, 5, 14 is one of my favorite formulas, but there are others that have that same type of analysis, because what that's going to do is promote healthy root growth mm-hmm. in the grass, which is going to make it get through the winter better. That's why they call it a winterizer. And then in the spring, we can blast it with the nitrogen to get it going again. People ask me all the time, they say, Mike, I put the winterizer on, but I didn't see any action. Well, you're really not going to. It's not going to do a lot of greening, because the grass in October and November is going to slide towards dormancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so put it on now, keeping in mind that your lawn will be in better shape in the spring if you use the winterizer now. And I'll use it now. I like using it in September, even early August. But if you've got it in your garage and you haven't used it yet, or you think you need it because your grass maybe needs some help, go ahead and do it now.
Now, I've noticed
now would be better than not using it at all.
I've noticed a few lawns in the community that are looking a little yellow just because of the lack of rain. So it's still okay to, if your lawn is looking that way, even though we just had that recent rain, is it still okay to apply this to that now?
Meg, that's a great question, because what you don't want to do is put the fertilizer mm-hmm. or the weed killers on either way
right.
with a lawn that is suffering from the drought.
That's what I'm wondering.
In other words, if you had problems with your sprinkler system, or quite frankly didn't have time mm-hmm. to put as much water on it as we would have liked you to have done, some of those fertilizers and chemicals can do more damage.
I was wondering if it would make it worse.
So it might make it worse. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and water good and deep. Water for a couple of days. Get it good and deep. Water for, say, 30 to 45 minutes each time. Be sure your lawn is well irrigated. Then use the products we talked about.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back with the Garden Line. If you've got a question or a comment, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. And you know, when it's this time on Tuesday, it's time for the Garden Line. 850-437-1620. Please text in your questions and thoughts. Lisa from Milton, one of our regular, we have to come up with a special name for garden liners. Maybe a garden liners?
I think so. But let me tell you, Lisa fits whatever category we come up with.
Because she's in.
She has always been a supporter, called us up, great questions, and Lisa, I hope you're doing well.
Well, she sent in a question this morning, Mike. She says, hello, Mike and Meg. Now would not be a good time to use some type of weed killer on crabgrass, ?
No, what I would do is keep in mind that pre-emergence we're going to use is going to hopefully help reduce the crabgrass population.
Okay.
Now, we talk about using it in mid-November. That sounds like it's years away.
Right.
You know, I think if you use that atrazine in, say, the second week in November, I mean, we're about a month away.
Right.
It's so close. And so I would wait till then and then use the atrazine as a pre-emergence. That's going to help. Crabgrass is very, very difficult. It really can get a toehold. And some people get to the point where they say, I've done all the pre-emergence, I've done all the post-emergence and all that, but the crabgrass is still a problem. Then they get into what I would call radical surgery and start using a Roundup solution to kill everything in the spot where the crabgrass is.
Is that the best way to get rid of it?
It's one way to do it, but it's dicey because mm-hmm. it will also kill any good grass that's there.
Right.
And you have to be careful about the grass on the perimeter. I always tell people, if you've got a spot of crabgrass, get your shovel and cut a trench around where the crabgrass is, and then you can use some of your Roundup solutions, because that Roundup is very systemic. If you have one little sprig of St. Augustine coming into the crabgrass
mm-hmm.
and you start using some of that Roundup, it can go all the way through. I'll never forget, I had a customer one time who had all kind of weeds around his pine trees.
Mm.
It just came right up to the trunk of the pine trees. And so he used some Roundup right around the trunk of the pine tree. It didn't hurt the pine tree, but what it did was all the grass about 4 to 5 feet out showed damage
wow.
because of that systemic factor in the Roundup.
Interesting.
So
okay.
You've got to be so careful, and quite frankly, you may not want to do that. But that is a radical way to get rid of the ryegrass.
So Lisa just responded.
I keep saying ryegrass.
Crabgrass.
Crabgrass.
So Lisa just said, dig it up.
Dig it up. But you're right. She's right. But boy, I'll tell you what. You leave one little molecule of those roots in there, and you might have them pop right back up. So, but digging them up is probably the safest way to do it.
Without destroying everything else.
Exactly.
Okay.
But that's work.
I'm sure.
A lot of work.
Okay. We've got some more questions coming in on our text line at 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line, so this is the time to get those questions out as we come into a new month tomorrow. This one says, I've got a bunch of monkey grass infiltrating my front yard. Any ideas on getting rid of it?
That goes right back to what we just said. Get out that shovel and gloves and have at it.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to find anything that's really going to kill the monkey grass.
Okay.
In other words, to get rid of it. I think you're going to have to dig it up. There's just nothing, even Roundup.
Oh, that doesn't work on monkey grass?
I've had some people to tell me, and I never believed it.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. They said they had weeds coming up in their monkey grass, and they would put a little light Roundup on the top of it. It would kill the weeds. It wouldn't kill the monkey grass. I don't really believe that, because monkey grass it would be very susceptible to damage from Roundup. So, no, I really don't have a solution for that other than manual labor. That's about it.
That's not good news, but
no,
okay.
No, it's not good news. It's not.
So wait till it's a little cooler, maybe?
Exactly right.
There you go.
Exactly right.
All right, so now we've got a couple other things. So you talked about weed killer, pre-emergence.
That's your list. That's the big three to do.
Okay.
The two types of weed killer, post-emergence, pre-emergence, and then the winterizer, fertilizer. So one other thing we need to talk about, and we can next week, if we don't get preempted,
two weeks in a row,
talk a little bit more about fall color. I think that's really
yes, that would be great.
That's something that's fun. It's not like crabgrass and monkey grass and all that. It's fun, and so we need to look at say about five different varieties. Number one, of course, is the pansies.
Yes,
they are so pretty. Mm-hmm. They really are. There's one called Delta Pro. That's a series of pansies that do very, very well. And you might want to look at that when you go to your garden center, because, you know, some of them have what they call blotches, kind of a face on the pansy, and some are a solid color. But pansies are great. I have found that here in October, sometimes you may not be able to find the selection that you want. So get your bed ready. Get your peat moss in the bed. Get a little bit of lime in there. Get all the weeds out of that spring bed that doesn't look so hot right now. And get ready to buy your pansies. It may be later in October when you can really get the selection that you want.
Okay, we've got another question came in. It says, Professor Mike.
Steve
from Point Baker. I've got some 20 pounds of Bermuda grass, and I need to know what to do with it. Will it work in this area? Thanks for everything, Mike.
Oh, yeah, it'll work great if you're building a golf course in your front yard.
No.
Bermuda grass is really used on golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a commercial grass, or maybe in a commercial area. Probably some like FDOT probably uses some of it, like in addition to Bahia grass on the right-of-ways. But Bermuda, once you've got it, you've got it. It's very hard to get rid of. It'll germinate pretty quickly, and if you've got an area where you can maintain it. The thing about people who want to make a lawn, if you will, out of Bermuda grass, be ready for high maintenance.
Mm.
It's like keeping a golf green.
Right.
It really is. You've got to mow it a certain way. You need a certain type of mower. It takes a lot of maintenance, and so it's probably not the best grass to use for a lawn unless you're going to be totally dedicated to that maintenance.
Okay. Thank you so much for the questions. 850-437-1620. Time to take another break, but we'll be back with Pep Talk and the Garden Line. And gosh, now we've got Professor Wiggins.
Professor, come on. That's nice.
Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Down to the last little bit of this half hour. And we do have another question for you, Mike. Mike Wiggins is our host of the Garden Line, this time every Tuesday from 9 to 10. And is Kentucky, here's the question, is Kentucky 31 tall fescue, a winter grass or a summer type grass, and will it grow well here?
It's a no kind of grass.
No
for Pensacola. We get much too hot for it here. You've got to go up past Atlanta, I guess you could do it there.
Okay.
But up in the Northeast, it's a great grass. You overseed it, and it really looks nice, but it is not for us.
Okay.
Wish it were. I wish it were. Now, we got to go.
Okay.
But if we don't get preempted next week.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Here's what we're going to talk about. You ready? We're going to talk about fall plants, so winter rye. Let's talk a little bit about care of house plants now that we're going into the winter.
Oh, good. I need help with that.
House plants in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Fall bulbs, ordering your roses, landscaping, and how about the big one? Hummingbirds.
Oh,
we'll get back to the hummingbirds.
Yes, yes, yes.
Next week.
Okay.
But that's kind of the lineup for next week if we have our hour.
Okay. Well, we're not going to be able to get to everybody's questions, so I apologize for that. But, Mike, put on your list about citrus trees. Is it time to plant those for next week? And we also had a follow-up from Steve who said, or Jay, Steve from Jay, who asked about azaleas, encore azaleas and blooms, and when do you trim them back and fertilize them? So we'll get to that next week. Thanks, everybody, for your patience. We appreciate you listening to The Garden Line. Thank you, Mike. We'll get a whole show in one of these days, right?
Someday.
This is Pep Talk.